Like I've heard my dad say many times when he preaches, the whole Old Testament is about God being faithful to a people who constantly break their promise to God. So God thought, they keep on breaking the covenants, so I'm going to make a covenant humans can't break. I'm going to send my only son, and I know they're going to end up killing him because he is so different. Then, on the third day, I will raise him from the dead. Humans cannot possibly break that covenant. There it is again. God never gave up on us, never backed down on us, and he never lost faith in us. God never gives up on us, and he never will. He will keep on fighting until every town is empty because everyone's at church worshiping. God will never give up on you, God will never back down on you, and God will never lose faith in you. Now, why did I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They're a perfect example of the Old Testament of what not giving up on God, not backing down, and not losing faith looks like. Now, I'm not saying if you don't give up on God, you should try walking through a fire pit. But they lived under a very mean Babylonian king who wanted them to worship his gods. But because of their Hebrew faith, they refused to worship any god other than Yahweh, the Creator God. And because of their refusal to worship other gods, God saved them from the fire. And when he saved them from the fire, it changed the king's ways. From that moment forward, while that king was leader of Babylon, Babylon worshipped the Hebrew god Yahweh. What I learned from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that God can do wonders beyond our reach if we never give up, never back down, and never lose faith. This is why I love Advent and Christmas. God coming to us in the helpless baby Jesus reminds me that God never gives up on me, never backs down, and never loses faith. And because of that, we should never give up on God, never back down, and never lose faith. When we do this, God will do wonders through us. Well, since you can't go through seminary in a week, that's all I got. Let's pray. Thanks, God, for this worship service and the opportunity to praise you. Thanks also for all the youth that are helping today and for the church willing to let us lead. Thank you for your word through me in this season of Advent. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal for the Lord of hosts will do this." The most universal feature of Christmas is the use of evergreens in churches and homes. Among ancient Romans, evergreens were an emblem of peace, joy, and victory. The early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered their home. Holly and ivy, along with pine and fir, are called evergreens because they never change color. They are evergreen, ever alive, even in the midst of winter. They symbolize the unchanging nature of our God, and they remind us of the everlasting life that is our thoughts are through Christ Jesus. Under Christian thought and sentiment, holly became widely used in church celebrations. Holly was considered as the burning bush or a symbol of Mary, whose being glows with the Holy Spirit. The red berries represented the blood drops from the cruel thorns in the crown of Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 13, we find these words: "The glory of Lebanon shall come unto you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of your sanctuary." Please turn to page 237 and sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of "Sing We Now of Christmas."